very thankful to be with y'all here this evening at Cool Springs, and it doesn't take much for me to stay over and be with y'all in any given time, and I'm thankful that I got to do that tonight. Thankful for the ordinance that we all witnessed in the baptism of this precious sister, and that's something that I will take home with me and just tell everybody about it in the state of Texas. And may the Lord continue to bless you, dear sister, and bless the church here. Very thankful again to be in church in the house of the Lord, and ask that you continue to pray. I have a scripture on my mind, and it's found in the 15th chapter of Corinthians. That tells you, if you've studied your Bibles, that 1 Corinthians 15 ought to just bring up one word in your mind, and that is the word resurrection. And I'm sorry, that's what I have on my mind tonight, is the resurrection. I'm actually not sorry. It's my favorite subject to preach on. It's my favorite thing to think about. And y'all might have heard me preach on the resurrection. You're going to, Lord willing, you're going to hear another one. You may have heard me preach on this verse. Then you know when to say amen. You know where all the good parts are. You know when to go out and get a cup of coffee, where all the bad parts come. I hope there won't be any good parts. If the Lord blesses, it'll all be good. We'll give God the glory, and we'll all be edified. But in 1 Corinthians 15, in verse 19, the Apostle Paul makes a statement. He says, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." I want to just preface a little saying that I'd like to say in regard to this text. The best the world has to offer cannot equal the least the church has to offer. I'll amen that statement even though I made it. The best the world has to give cannot equal what the least the church has to give. And now I'll make another statement. The best the church has to give cannot equal the least that paradise has to give. So what we are enjoying tonight, I think, is the best in all the earth. But it's not the best it'll ever be. The best is yet to come. I'm glad that's the truth. And I'm glad that I know it. I don't have to know it to be true. But it sure makes me happy to know it. If there is no resurrection, he said we are of all men most miserable. Not that we would be, but we are. Because that means that Christ's death did not accomplish what he came to do. The scripture says that he was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. If he didn't rise from the grave, there is no justification. We are yet in our sins. Our preaching is vain. Our faith is vain. And the best that we could hope for, the very best that we could hope for, is when we die, we just cease to be. That's the best. The worst is that we go and spend eternity in hell. The best is this, what we call annihilation. We just cease to be. That sure enough is an optimistic doctrine, isn't it? That when you die, there's nothing. But I've got something better than that. The best is yet to come. The best you've ever felt, you haven't felt it yet. The best meeting you've ever gone to, you haven't gone to it yet. The happiest you've ever been, you haven't felt it yet. We've had some good moments in this life. We've had some good times this weekend. But it will not equal what we experience when we wake in His likeness and are satisfied and see Jesus Christ face to face. Now that's what I'm looking forward to. I've done some things in life that I regret. I have done some things in life I do not regret. One thing I do not regret is joining the Primitive Baptist Church. I don't regret that. That was a good decision. If you haven't made that decision, what's the matter? You ought to do it. If you haven't joined the church and you want to, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. If you want a short sermon, join the church right now. You want me to quit preaching? Come on down. We'll baptize you. I promise you, I'll quit preaching. All right? What a way to end the sermon is for someone to join the church. The only better way to end the sermon is for the Lord to come back. Either way would be fine with me. I'll quit preaching and be happy about it. All right? I do not regret joining the Primitive Baptist Church. I do not regret marrying the woman that I'm married to. I do not regret marrying Robbie K. Collins. I've made a lot of mistakes. Those two were not mistakes. I've got some things that I'm looking forward to that I hope will come to pass. I hope that I'll raise my kids and they'll leave home and be good Southern gentlemen. I hope that happens. It hadn't happened yet. They haven't left the house and they're not Southern gentlemen yet. Well, they're not gentlemen. I hope that happens. I'm trying. I really think I'm trying hard. I hope they take a good path in life. They may not. They may choose the wrong path. In spite of my best efforts and my wife's best efforts, they may make many mistakes and choose the wrong path in life. I pray that they don't. I pray that one of these days I can retire and have enough money and take care of my business and enjoy the golden years, so called. I may not. I'm going to catch a plane tomorrow. I hope I'm there on time. I hope it takes off. I hope it lands in San Antonio. That may not happen. There are some things that I'm looking forward to that may not happen. But there's one thing I'm looking forward to that I know will happen. Jesus Christ is coming back. That I know is going to happen. All right? I think about that every day of my life. I'm not bragging. I'm boasting in the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for putting that in my heart. That helps me out. That gets me through the trials and the disappointments of this world. The knowledge that my Lord is coming back and it'll take me home to glory, that is good news. I like to think about it. I believe He's coming back, therefore there is no misery, but every good thing to look forward to. And what I would like to just talk to you about, if the Lord would bless, the resurrection beats everything. I don't know if that's a good title or not, but I can get it. The resurrection will be the best thing that ever happened to you. It is better than anything else in this life. It's better than anything else in this life. It's even better than what we're doing right now. That's how good it is. If the Lord gave me a choice and said, I'll make everything happen. You'll live a good life. You'll have enough money. Your kids will grow up. They'll be all right. Or I'll come back next Thursday. I'll say, come on back right now, Lord. Come on. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Now, the Apostle Paul had that sentiment. And this is found in the book of Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21. Paul said this, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now that's a good attitude. While I'm alive, I want to live for Jesus Christ. And to die is to be with Jesus Christ. That's a good attitude. He said, for I am in a strait betwixt two. He said, I'm in a hard place. I'm in a difficult place. He says, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Better than what? Better than anything. You see, friends, I don't have a death wish. I've got a resurrection hope. All right? I'm not trying to die. I just want the Lord to come back. Don't worry. If I get sick, I'm going to the doctor. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. I can be a hypochondriac when I want to be. Sometimes I choose to be a hypochondriac. But I want the Lord to come back. Paul said to depart, even to die, and to be with Christ is far better. And then he says, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. I read this scripture and I think about an experience that I had about 10 years ago. Brother Philip and I share a common father in the ministry in Elder Bill Walden of South Texas. He was to have, I think, a 4 bypass surgery. And I went to go see him the night before his surgery. And it really got to me to see Brother Bill in that condition. He has always been there for me. Whenever I had a question, he had time to answer. He put up with me and all the stuff and was such a wonderful blessing to me, and I wasn't ready for him to go. I got selfish. I wanted to keep this man that meant so much to me. When I sat down by his bedside, I said, Brother Bill, I'm praying that the Lord will bring you through the surgery tomorrow. He says, don't you dare pray for that, Brother David. That kind of took me back. He said, you pray that the Lord's will be done. That's what you pray. I said, but Brother Bell, he says, no. He says, if I die tomorrow, I get to be with the Lord. But if I live through it, I get to stay with the Primitive Baptist. He says, either way, I can't lose. Amen. I think about what Paul said. He said, to live is Christ. The best life you'll have is one that follows the footsteps of Jesus Christ. The happiest you'll be is when you're close to the Lord and the Lord's people. But my beloved friends, when you're with Him face to face, what a day that will be. That will be better than anything that we've had in this world. And that's why Paul said to die is gain. To abide with Christ is more needful. But I look forward to seeing my Lord. Amen. I would love for that to happen right now. Not to have any more disappointments in life. Not to worry, not to have the stress, and not to suffer the afflictions, and to see myself commit mistake after mistake, but yet to feel His presence and to know and to see Him, what a day that will be. He said that is far better than anything. There was a man in Luke chapter 2 and verse 25 that was given a very unusual promise. I'll turn to Luke chapter 2 and verse 25. I'll start reading. It says, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. This man was having a good life. He was a just man. He was devout. He was religious. He was waiting for the consolation. He was waiting for the coming of the Messiah. And the Holy Ghost was with him. Can you ask anything better than that? We're like Simeon ourselves. We pray that the Holy Ghost would be upon us. We desire to be just and devout, and we're waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was waiting for the first coming. We're waiting for the second coming. And God gave him a promise. He said it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. What a wonderful thing for the Lord to do to him. You want to know why the Lord does not make a promise like that to David Montgomery? Because if the Lord said, Dave, you will not see death until the resurrection. You want to know what I do? I'd be eating every donut in creation. I'd skip every diet. I wouldn't exercise. I mean, I eat nothing but ice cream and pound cake and pecan pie, excuse me. When in Rome, do as the Romans. You do it, why shouldn't I? Pecan pie, Brother Philip. Deal with it. Amen. Amen. Strawberry cake. Amen. I'd be just eating and just enjoying I'm not going to die until the resurrection. That's why the Lord would never make a promise like that to me. That shows you what a sinner I am. Amen and amen. But I tell you what, Simeon was a just man and devout. And it was given to him, you'll see him. You will lay eyes upon the Messiah. One day it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. He said he came in by the Spirit. I think he knew something was going to happen that day. He came in by the Spirit into the temple. And he saw a little, an eight-day old baby. And he knew that was the Messiah. I don't know what he was expecting. I would have been expecting a general, a king. Amen. He was the captain. He was the king. But that little child was Jesus Christ. And that was our Savior. He was just as much a Savior in His mother's womb than when He was resurrected from the dead. I say that to John the Baptist. When he was in his mother's womb, he leapt for joy when Jesus was there. My friends, wherever Jesus is, there's joy and happiness. And my friends, he comes and he sings in the midst of the church. He sings praises to God and we sing with him. That's why we're happy in the house of God. And that's why we ought to be here to sing with the Lord Jesus Christ. And to know that that day is coming, that he's coming back to take us home. Simeon came and he saw his Lord in that small infant. And he held him in his arms. And he said, Lord, let now thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Now you would have thought that Simeon would have wanted to hang around to see what happened. History is about to be made. This man is going to come and perform miracles, raise the dead and heal the sick. He was to build his church. He could have stayed and heard him preach. But he said, no, I'd rather be in glory than literally hear Jesus Christ preach. Can I not use anything more expressive to portray to you the sweetness of what heaven will bring to us? We have no way of understanding how wonderful heaven must be. We've sort of got a glimpse of it here in church, but this is not going to scratch the surface of what we will see and how we will feel when we walk in those sweet fields of glory. That's why I can't wait to be with Him and to be like Him. I am sick and tired of sinning. I am tired of disappointing myself and the Lord. I hate the sins that make Him mourn. I'm tired of it. And I get weary. And I keep doing it. The things that I would, that I do not, and that I would not, that I do. Oh, wretched man that I am! Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I know who. My Lord Jesus Christ. And He's prepared a home for us. This earth is not our home. Heaven is our home. Abraham looked for a city who's with half foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He wasn't looking for Canaan's land. He was looking for heaven's land. He knew this world wasn't his home. He knew home was in another place. My friends, this world is not your home. This may be your home church. It may be your home away from home. But when you get to heaven, ah, what a day that will be. I'll tell you what, my friends, have you ever had something described to you? Someone say, you need to go over here and see this place. And you get there and it just wasn't how they described it. I remember my brother Tim. He told me to go to a place one time and I didn't think. What in the world is he talking about? I called him on the phone and I said, man, the half wasn't described to me. You described the bad half. I mean, you described the good half. I saw nothing but the bad half. Do you think when we get to heaven, someone's going to come up to you and say, well, it just wasn't what I thought it would be? Well, it just didn't meet expectations. Well, I had so much, you know, I was thinking it's going to be like, I tell you what, we're going to be like, it's going to take an eternity to get over it. How about that? It's going to take an eternity to express how we feel. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing His praise than when we first begun. I don't know what it's going to be like, but I know it's going to be good. I don't know how I'm going to feel like, but I know it's going to be better than I've ever felt. I don't know how shall I appear, but I will be like the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's good news to me. Zacchaeus said, let me depart in peace. I've seen thy salvation. You fulfilled your promise. Now I'm ready to go home and be with you. Amen and amen. I tell you what, it's good after a long trip to go home. You know, my home is the hot burning sands of South Texas. But that's my home. People say, you need more trees down there. No, we got plenty of them. You just can't see them. Say, it's too hot down there. I like hot weather. I enjoy it. When it gets 100 degrees, I feel alive. I come alive in hot weather. I like getting up there and sweating 100 degree weather. That's my home. San Antonio's my home. I like hot Mexican food. I like jalapenos right off the vine. Amen. That's good eating to me. Y'all don't like that. Well, that's all right. I don't like grits either. I don't like grits. I don't like hominy. I make no secret about it. No grits and hominy up there. Amen and amen. But I'll tell you what, my beloved friends, when it's time to go home, I think about that little place that I have where my boys are, my wife is, and my friends. I think about my church there in Fredericksburg. I think about those brethren there that just love me in spite of myself. That I've been there for 14 years and I just feel right at home there. I feel like I do my best preaching at home. I can't wait to get there. I tell you what, my friends, I like going home. And I like going to my eternal home. I like when I think about it, that I'm going to be with people that I love, that know me, and I know them. But when I see the Lord, oh, what a day that will be. When I see Him the way He is, when I know Him, when He knows me, when I fall down at His feet, when I just give Him the glory due to His name, that's what I'm looking forward to. That's what I'm looking forward to, my beloved. When I know how amazing grace is, what a day that will be. When I know about that blissful hope, when it's no longer a hope, when it's reality, amen, what a day that will be. When I don't have to worry about tomorrow, when I don't have to worry about next week, when I don't have to worry about the economy, or making enough money, or what's going to happen, or I hope I didn't offend somebody, or I hope I don't make a mistake, or I just don't know, maybe I shouldn't have said that, or whatever, whatever. When all is peace and love, when there's no schisms, when there's no misunderstandings, when there's no sickness, when there's no death, there's no old age, when we have a pure vision of what the Lord Jesus Christ is, friends, that's home. That's where we're going. If we didn't have that, what would you do? What would you do? If you didn't know that, if that wasn't true, how would you feel right now? Paul said we're of all men most miserable. But I don't have a miserable doctrine for you. I've got a doctrine of comfort. Jesus is coming back. Let me depart in peace. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Have you seen the Lord's salvation? If you've tasted that He's gracious, if you understand the gospel, if you've had the love of God shed abroad in your heart, my friends, you've seen it, you've felt it, and let that be an evidence that heaven is your home. Tell you what, we can't lose, can we? We got a home right here, and we got a better home up there in heaven. I would say that this would be the best day of Zacchaeus' life. When he held Christ in his arms and knew that it was Christ. And he knew that he was going home. I say that's the best day of his life. But life is not always best days, is it? Life is full of disappointment. Some people say it's all how you look at it. Some people say, well, I'm an optimist. I say the glass is half full. Some people say I'm a pessimist. It's half empty. You know, you want to know how much of an optimist I am? I'm just glad there's water in the glass. You know what I'm saying? Some people say it takes two valleys to make a mountain. Some people say it takes two mountains to make a valley. I say, let's go to the beach. You don't have to worry about it. Let's just go to the beach. Let's just go see. I'd rather go to the ocean anyway. It's too cold up in the mountain. I'd rather go to the ocean. You say, I don't think. Well, we're going to agree in heaven about that. Isn't that amazing? Can you imagine we're going to not have any arguments up there in heaven? Can you believe that? I believe it, but I can't understand. To me, it's just all about that. Wow. Amen. No splits, no schisms, no misunderstandings. I was preaching one time and I said, in heaven there's not going to be any doctors, there's not going to be any nurses, and there's not going to be any undertakers. Did you know in that congregation there was a doctor and a nurse and an undertaker? You know what they said to the handshake line? Brother Dave, I don't like your doctrine. I had to change it. I said, there's no need of doctors, there's no need of nurses, and there's no need of undertakers. And some wise guy, they can say that there's no need of preachers either. Alright, I said, alright, you're right. You're absolutely right. That ought to make heaven real good. There ain't no preaching up there. We'll know as we're known. When I finally figure Melchizedek out, it'll be too late. Everybody will know it too. I'll be saying, Brother Philip, I know Melchizedek. He said, I don't know. I just talked to him. Alright, we'll know as we're known. We don't need any preachers. We're not going to get sick. We don't need any doctors. We don't need any nurses. We're not going to die. We don't need any undertakers. We don't need all. We'll have everything we need. Right there, my friends. What a day that will be. Alright? Alright? That's the best day. That's the best day of Simeon's life. I think I called him Zacchaeus a while ago. Y'all understood what I said. That's just me being cute anyway. Alright, Simeon had a good day. Simeon had a good day. But there's bad days in life. Alright, there's a man that had probably having a very bad day. This is found in the 23rd chapter of Luke. There were two thieves that were hanging on the cross with the Lord Jesus Christ. At one point, both thieves were criticizing and condemning Jesus Christ. But something happened to one of those thieves. Somebody went and got born again. How about that? No preacher got involved in that. There was no gospel being preached. The Holy Ghost was there. On the cross. Can you imagine that? Here was a thief. Here was this man who was criticizing and condemning Jesus Christ, and something happened. And he rebukes the other thief. He said, we deserve what's happening. But this man has done nothing amiss. Who told him that? God did. God don't need preachers to get to us. He writes His laws in our hearts and our minds. You don't have to tell every man who's ever saying, know ye the Lord, for they shall all know me from the least to the greatest. And he looks at the Lord. And he says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. The worst day of his life. He's facing death. He is a condemned criminal and hung in public humiliation and execution. And all of a sudden, the worst day of his life turns into the best day of his life. Remember me when thou come into thy kingdom. You know what the Lord said to him? You know, but I'm going to say it anyway. Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. The best, the worst turned into the best. He woke up in jail, spent his day hanging on a cross, and ended that day in glory land. If that's not grace, I don't know what is. My friends, on the worst day of your life, the best news will cheer you up. Jesus is coming back. I heard a primitive Baptist preacher say one time, well, he said, verily I say unto thee today, he's saying, I'm telling you this today. Today I'm telling you this. Sooner or later, one of these days you're going to be with me in paradise. Soul sleeping. Give me a break. Why would anybody want to take a verse like that and turn it to something silly? Give us a break. I say you what. Jesus is saying, buddy, right now, this very day, you and I are going to be in paradise. Because when we close our eyes in death, we open them in glory. Stephen was being stoned to death, but he saw Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of God. And he laid his life. He died. His life was taken from him. And he died. And in that moment, that last thing that he saw in this life was the first thing he saw in the next life. He saw his Lord standing. I think of a man by the name of Job, who in a few hours lost everything. Everything. He lost his children. He lost his flocks, his herds. He lost his health. His wife says, just curse God and die. I think she's saying, just end your life. And then his friends came and said, what did you do to get in shape like this? Go ahead and tell us. And in the midst of Job's torment, he makes a declaration. And I'll see if I can find it real quick before I close. And in the book of Job, chapter, I think it's chapter 19, is it not? Job makes this statement, chapter 19, verse 23. Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were written, printed in a book. That they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. This flesh may be destroyed, but in this flesh I'll see God. My friends, that got Job through this trial. What are you going through? What are your trials? What are your disappointments? What are your hang-ups? What grudges are you carrying? Well, who are you mad at right now? I say, give that to the Lord. He's coming back. We don't have time for it, my friends. Grudges take too much of our time. I'd rather be thinking about the resurrection. My friends, how have you been disappointed? I'm 53 years old. I'm 53 years old. I thought I'd be a millionaire by now. I really did. I really thought I'd be a millionaire. I think I owe $1 million. That's my life. It didn't turn out the way I wanted. I thought I was going to have this job. I thought everything was going to be like this. I thought I'd have this house, this car, all this kind of stuff. But you know what? When I take stock of what I have, I'm a wealthy man. The Lord has put me in His kingdom. He's given me the best friends I'll ever ask. He's let me understand the gospel. He's given me the ability to sing Amazing Grace. And He's given me the hope that He's coming back. I don't have time to be miserable. I want to spend my time thinking about when Jesus is coming back. The best meeting is yet to come. The best news you've ever heard is coming true. The best words has yet to be uttered. Jesus will say, come in, ye blessed of the Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for the foundation of the world. The best you've ever felt, the best that's ever been, is yet to come. My friends, I can't wait. May the Lord richly bless you is my prayer. Until then, may God be praised. Come ahead, dear brother.